Welcome to the Natural Medicine Healing and Wellness Summit, your guide to feeling younger, reversing disease, and living better now. I'm Dr. Michael Murray, and I'm your host for today, and I'm really happy to introduce to you Ocean Robbins. Welcome, Ocean. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Let me tell people a little bit about you. Ocean Robbins is the co-founder and CEO of the Food Revolution Network. He's also adjunct professor in Chapman University's Peace Studies Department and co-author with his dad, best-selling author John Robbins, of Voices of the Food Revolution. He launched Youth for Environmental Sanity at age 16 and directed the organization for 20 years. Ocean has spoken to more than 200,000 people and facilitated hundreds of gatherings for leaders from 65 nations. He's a recipient of many awards, including the Freedom's Flame Award and National Jefferson Award for Outstanding Public Service. Ocean's going to be talking to us today about how to be a food champion, a real food champion, and that's going to be fascinating. But before we get to that, Ocean, knowing your dad, I have to assume that you inherited some of that passion to be able to have accomplished all that you've done at such a relatively young age. Congratulations on that. I want to ask you, what drives you? What's your passion?
Well, my passion is I love food. I love real, natural, healthy food. I love the opportunity to help people bring their food lives into integrity with their values. And quite honestly, I love helping change people's lives for the better. You know, it breaks my heart that one in three of our kids is expected to get diabetes in their lifetime, that over two-thirds of our population is overweight or obese. It breaks my heart every time somebody loses a loved one to cancer, every time somebody loses a loved one to heart disease. It breaks my heart how many people feel like it's their fault that they're sick and miserable and feeling like crap. And I want to do something about it. So what motivates me is knowing that we can do something about it, that we can do so much better, that more Americans died last year from diet-related disease than died in World War II. Wow. And what that means is that we can save millions of lives. We can transform millions of lives to have more health, more vibrancy, better sleep, better sex lives, more joy, more healthy immune systems. And a fighting chance to prevent and even in some cases reverse cancer, diabetes, many of the chronic illnesses of our times. So that's what drives me. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's what motivates me to be a food revolutionary.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about the Food Revolution Network before we get to your talk.
Absolutely. So I launched the Food Revolution Network with my dad, John Robbins. He's a best-selling author on food and health issues. And we joined together because, 4 years ago, his books had sold millions of copies, but he had no email list. He didn't even know what Facebook was, to be perfectly honest. And he had no way to reach his followers. And the thing is, we looked at it and we said, you know what? There's hot issues in our food world right now. I mean, the food movement is a hugely powerful force, and so many people are suffering and dying. And we need a way to reach people. We need a way to get the word out. So I joined with him as the CEO of the Food Revolution Network, him as the president, so we could help bring some of the work that he'd done over decades to a new generation using modern technologies. So we've reached more than 400,000 people in our Food Revolution summits, and we've helped organize campaigns that have gotten hundreds of thousands of people calling on Coca-Cola to stop fighting GMO labeling. We've also gotten a lot of people calling on the FDA to support GMO labeling, and we're also organizing campaigns to help get routine use of antibiotics out of factory farms. And, we just recently launched a program that got 2,000 people on taking steps towards food freedom, and in 2 months, they lost 30,000 pounds. So we're great. Seeing the results where every day we hear stories of people whose lives have been changed by the truth that we're sharing. You know, yeah. I feel so grateful for all of the scientists and doctors around the world who have taken it upon themselves to spend decades studying the root causes of disease and studying what really happens and using the latest scientific method for understanding, you know, in control groups and clinical settings and you know, what really happens when people eat one way or another way. And when we take, you know, we factor out the placebo effect, you know, we've got a lot of data in today that tells us in no uncertain terms that we can radically improve the health outcomes for millions and millions of people with making simple dietary changes that, you know, if there was a drug that could confer the benefits of healthy eating,
yeah,
you know, you would have trillions of dollars being made off of selling that drug.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's just food, you know? And the good news is that when we understand what's really going on, we can take advantage of all the research that's been done and thrive.
And what sort of resources do people find when they go to foodrevolution.com?
Foodrevolution.org is our website. And, you know, people can sign up and join our, get our Real Food Action Guide and join our blog and find, you know, hundreds of articles on critical food issues. We're looking at the real superfoods, you know, the foods that are simple and basic and can really help transform your life. We're looking at exposing some of the insanity that has led to a toxic food culture.
Yeah.
And we're helping people take action. We're giving them tangible ways that they can take action in their own lives and also for their families and also politically. You know, our dream is, of course, we want to help people be everyday food revolutionaries. We also want to change the food systems so that healthy food is more accessible, so it's more affordable, so that we stop subsidizing with our tax dollars high fructose corn syrup and factory farmed animal products and other junk. And we start bringing our food policies into alignment with the highest well-being of our population.
You know, Ocean, I met your dad, I think it was probably around 1987 or 89, somewhere around there. He'd just written a book, I think it was Diet for a New America. And his story is so powerful. It's just, and for those people out there that don't know his story, it's part of your story too. I'd like you just to share who your dad is and what he left behind because of his values. It just says a lot. I love it. It's a, you know, for someone to walk away from a fortune because they wanted to do what was right.
Well, folks may not know what you're talking about, so let me explain. So my grandfather founded Baskin-Robbins Ice Cream Company, 31 flavors, with his brother-in-law, Burt Baskin. My dad grew up with an ice cream cone-shaped swimming pool and 31 flavors of ice cream in the freezer at all times. And he was groomed from about the age of 6 or 7 to one day join his father in running a family company. He was working in the factory and, you know, that was the plan. But when he was in his early 20s, he was offered that chance. And he said no. He walked away from a path that was practically paved with gold as well as ice cream.
Yeah.
To, as we jokingly say in our family, follow his own rocky road. And, you know, the fact is that what motivated him to make that choice was that his uncle, Bert Baskin, was dying of heart disease. His uncle, I never even knew my uncle Bert, my dad's uncle Bert, but I know about him from the family stories. You know, he was one of the most successful entrepreneurs in American history. He had a family he loved and cherished. But he didn't have his health.
Right.
And all the money in the world was worth nothing once he was gone. He left his kids fatherless and his wife a widow. And so my dad saw that happening. And he said, you know what? An ice cream cone is not going to kill anybody. But he didn't want to spend his life selling a product that might contribute to more kids losing their dads, like his cousins were losing their dad, that would contribute to more obesity. And he said, you know, I've got to find my own path in life. So he walked away and moved with my mom to a little island off the coast of British Columbia, Canada, where they built a one-room log cabin and they grew most of their own food and they lived on less than $500 a year. They were practicing yoga and meditation for hours a day and they named their kid Ocean. So I grew up, you know, with parents that might now be described as hippies.
Yeah.
Although I was monetarily poor, I felt rich because I had time with my mom and dad. I had beautiful nature around me and I had healthy food. Then when I was 10, we moved to California and my dad ended up writing a best-selling book called Diet for a New America, which inspired millions of people to look at their food choices as an opportunity to make a difference in the world. And the media had a ton of fun with the story. They called me Dad the Rebel without a cone. So now, lo and behold, in around 1990, my grandpa was suffering from some serious health problems. You know, he'd always eaten the standard American diet plus a double scoop of ice cream on top. And now here he was suffering with serious diabetes and high blood pressure and weight issues, and his doctors told him he didn't have long to live. And they said, but if you do want to get better and you're willing to think outside the box, there's a book you should read. And they handed him a copy of Diet for New America. Well, remarkably enough, my grandpa read it. And he didn't just read it, he made changes. He gave up ice cream. He ate a lot more vegetables. He changed his diet in a huge way, and he got results. He lost 30 pounds. His golf game improved 7 strokes. He got off all of his diabetes and high blood pressure medications. And he lived another 20 healthy years.
Oh, Jesus.
So we've seen in my family directly the what can happen when you follow the standard American diet and what can happen if you get the chance and you make the choice to make a change. You know, my dad's uncle didn't get that chance. My grandpa did. What we want to see is more people having the opportunity, wherever you are in life, to make the choices that will help you turn around or improve the quality of your health. You know, for the people who have eaten unhealthfully or who are suffering right now, you've actually got the most to gain from making a change. For the people who are eating basically well, there's always more we can do. We live in an environment where what's considered normal turns out to be toxic, where the average American eats 150 pounds of added sugar per year,
right,
where our food system is laced with pesticides and hormones and antibiotics and additives and colorings and flavorings. And so in that context, eating real, healthy, whole, natural food is kind of revolutionary.
Yeah.
But it's also very basic.
Yeah.
And so my passion in the food revolution is recognizing how bad the status quo is, but also recognizing that's really good news, because that's how much better things can get with the change.
Yeah, your dad certainly has made a tremendous impact in the world. I love his message, and it goes well beyond just food. It's environmental concerns and social concerns, just a true visionary and a true influencer of people. And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there.
Well, it doesn't, you know, and this is the thing, Michael, is that food isn't just a commodity. It's also a community. You know, it's a web of relationships that connects us with our bodies, with each other, with our whole entire planet. What you eat literally becomes you. And it connects you on the most intimate cellular level with policies and practices and products all over the planet, right? So when you eat food that's been grown with callousness and exploitation as its trademarks, then you're taking that into your body. You know, the average life expectancy for farm workers in the United States is 49 years.
Wow.
To some extent, that's a product of poverty and painful living conditions. To some extent, it's a product of pesticide exposure on the job, which is having these farm workers have epidemic rates of cancer, right? So when you eat food that was grown with those pesticides, of course, you're contributing to a system where farm workers are dying.
Yeah.
You're also taking those poisons into your own body. And a lot of the pesticides that we spray on our crops are known neurotoxins. Right, and then we've got genetically modified organisms that have been engineered to withstand large amounts of Roundup, whose active ingredient is glyphosate. So we're now spraying weed killer directly on our food crops, and glyphosate has been recently classified by the World Health Organization as a probable carcinogen.
Yeah,
this means there's a very strong likelihood that it causes cancer, and we're spraying it on our food. So the reality is that these practices are political, right? And they're social, but they're also personal. They're also about what you take into your body. And so the beauty, I think, is that in our food choices, we have the opportunity to live with integrity, to take a stand for what we really want for our lives and for our planet, and to realize that it's all connected. That the same choices that can help to reverse climate change, that can help to create a more healthy ecosystem with safe water and safe air, that can help to preserve our topsoil and our water supply for future generations, are actually the very same food choices that will contribute to us having the longest, healthiest, most thriving lives.
Yeah. And so that's what really the food revolution is all about, isn't it? It's not just, it's not just changing the way that we eat as individuals, but changing the whole planet. It's just a great, great message.
And, you know, food is very social, right? I mean, through history, breaking bread together, sharing a meal together has been an act of communion and connection between people. So I think when we choose to bring our lives into integrity with our values, we do so not just for us, but as an example that influences the lives of all the people we love. Yeah, so even if you think you're eating healthier than most, maybe you even struggle to pull your loved ones along sometimes. And I don't know anyone who doesn't feel that pain.
Right.
You know, the reality is that you take a stand, not just for you, but as an act of love for your community, because you do set an example. And in that example lies, in some ways, the hope of all that you care for.
So, Ocean, how do you become a real food champion?
I like to look at it with a little analysis. I look at, where do you shop, first off? Because if you shop in places like, you know, that are supermarkets or Walmart or whatever, then you're going to be exposed to all kinds of food products, many of which are not good for you. And it's very hard to eat healthfully when you're constantly being seduced or pulled by the normalization of junk.
Yeah.
Right. So if you can, to the extent that you can bring your food shopping choices into alignment with your values by choosing things like community-supported agriculture and farmers markets and, you know, local and natural, that's going to help be a positive influence on you, and also it's going to help contribute to the healthy food economy that we all want, right? Number two is change what you buy, right? So and this is an interesting one, because a lot of people don't realize how significant it really is. But I'll just tell you a little story. So a few years ago, I have twins, and my son Bodhi was, you know, we were getting in a lot of fights over potato chips. Uh-huh. So we would, you know, he would see a bag of potato chips, and he'd open it up, and I'd like take it from him and give him three, and he'd reach his hand in there and grab 20. And then I try, you know, we'd get in all these fights about it. And I went to my wife one day, I said, what should we do? I keep getting in this conflict with Bodhi over potato chips. And he would grab the whole bag and just eat the whole thing as an act of self-defiance. And she said, I think you should stop buying potato chips. And I was like, oh, that would mean I'd have to stop eating potato chips. She said, yes, it would. So lo and behold, I stopped buying them. And within a matter of days, we were not fighting over it anymore at all.
Yeah.
It was just gone, right? Sounds so obvious, but as it happens, that's what it took, right? And so changing what we buy is really critical. And one of the keys here is, when you make a shopping list and you follow through on it, then you're not going to be seduced by all the impulse purchases, which studies show tend to be a place where we waste a lot of money. And they also tend to be a place where we make our least healthy choices, right?
Yeah.
Number three is change how you prepare your food. So think about, you know, are you eating out? Are you eating in? Can you think ahead?
Yes.
So if you can think ahead, if you can shop once a week instead of once a day, if you can prepare things in quantity, if you can prepare a bunch of food on the weekend and then have it to eat all week, if you can put some soups in the freezer and pull them out, then when your life gets busy, you're not as likely to be seduced by the fast food or even the TV dinner kind of stuff that typically isn't as healthy and typically costs a lot more.
Yeah. You know, Ocean, you and I, we love food. So we think about food a lot. And one of the things that we do is we plan out our day, often around food. What are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? What are we going to have? How are we going to prepare it? And what I found in talking with people, other people love food. They love the sensory fulfillment. And but they don't really plan about eating. And so I have a good friend that just battled and battled his weight. And I asked him, what happens? He goes, well, I'm driving around and I get hungry. So I go to one place and then I go to a next. And next thing you know, he's just out of control. And I said, well, you got to plan things out.
Well, you do, you know, it's true. And here, I feel a little frustrated about it, to be honest with you. And I'll tell you why, because we live in a culture that makes it really easy to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know, and really hard to do the right thing. And that's why we have a 66% overweight and obesity rate in the United States. And it's why a third of our kids are getting diabetes or expected to. It's why so many people feel like crap.
Yeah.
And it is extra work right? You've got to go upstream. You've got to buck the system and create new systems. And there's no way around that. But here's the thing. What's at stake is your life. What's at stake is your survival. What's at stake is your loved ones.
Yeah.
What's at stake even is the viability of food for the future of our planet. So we cannot afford, even though it seems cheap and convenient to stick with, and I wish I could tell you that it would be easier, you know, to eat healthy food. And you can make it easier and easier as you build healthy habits. But there's no question that our society makes it super easy to eat junk. I mean, look at all the convenience stores. Yeah. They make it convenient to eat nothing good for you.
Right.
Look at all the fast food stores that make it fast to eat food that shouldn't even rightfully be called food at all.
Right.
It's food-like products. So that's what's normal. So it does take some work to create the habits that help you thrive. But the good news is that every step you take makes the next step easier because you build momentum. And eventually you never look back because you've got more energy, you've got more vibrancy, the investment pays off and there's no turning back on it. And so that's the beauty of it, I think, is that it's worth it. It is so worth it. And and I hope that we can change, that we can create a cultural change that makes healthy food more and more accessible, more and more affordable, more and more normal.
Yeah. So did we cover all the facets of being a real food champion?
There's one more.
I thought so.
So we covered changing where you shop, changing what you buy, changing how you prepare your food, right?
Yeah.
And let me say, in the mix of all that is that obviously eating whole foods, real foods, natural, organic, sustainable, fair trade. And I'm really big on Plant Strong because I think that in general, I mean, the World Health Organization has declared processed meats to be a carcinogen,
right,
and has declared actually red meat to be a probable carcinogen.
Right.
So there's a huge link between meat consumption and cancer, right?
Right.
And the reality is that on the flip side, vegetables and fruits and berries providing incredible health-giving benefits in fighting cancer and fighting Alzheimer's, in helping to prevent heart disease and diabetes and all the other lifestyle-induced ailments of our times. So there's a lot of evidence to be found for moving in a plant-strong direction. But let me get to the fourth piece, which is changing how we consume our food.
Okay.
So which includes our social relationships and our body and our experience in relationship to food. So in today's hyper-sped-up, hyper-processed world, where so many of us are stressed out and burnt out and exhausted and fatigued, we tend to eat food in a fairly thoughtless, fairly compulsive manner.
Yeah.
And from that state of consciousness, more flavor, more salt, more fat, more sugar is appealing because it gets us salivating quickly. And saliva is important to digestion. It's also important to enjoyment of food sensation, right? But one of the other ways you can salivate is by smelling your food.
Yeah.
And by savoring it. And by even taking a moment to give thanks. What I want to invite you to do is to consider how you can bring the sacred, bring beauty, bring gratitude into your relationship with food. So that you recognize that every bite of food is literally taking something into your body. And it's literally going to become you. Now, have you ever had the experience where you're in relationship with somebody you love and maybe they say something really sweet and beautiful, they tell you they love you, and you don't even take it in, you don't even notice because you're just caught up, your mind is on something else? And have you ever had the experience where someone, the same exact person, could say they love you or say something sweet to you and it goes to the depths of your soul because you're in a state of consciousness to receive it? Well, what I want to invite you to consider is the possibility that the same is true about food. That the same molecule of food taken into your body could reach you in a different way depending on your level of receptivity relative to that molecule of food. And that just taking a moment to give thanks, to say grace, to feel gratitude, to savor or smell for even 5 seconds can change your physiology, can change your biochemistry, can get your stomach juices flowing, can get your saliva flowing in a way that will actually change how you receive that food. And it's my belief that being in a state of gratitude doesn't just make things feel better, it actually makes them get better.
I agree.
There are studies showing the neuroscience of gratitude, that people who take even a couple of minutes a day to write down things they're grateful for have a better health outcome and healthier lives, right?
Yeah.
So I'm very passionate about helping us to have more joy in relationship to food. I don't think that a healthy eater is going to last long if eating food is tasting like cardboard and is full of suffering and misery and labor. I think it's got to be vibrant and beautiful and joyous and nourishing from the get-go. And I think that gratitude, appreciation, savoring is one of the most potent acts we can take towards helping ourselves be really sustainable and thriving on a healthy eating path.
You know, Ocean, one of my favorite quotes is from Sir Arthur Clarke, who wrote 2001: A Space Odyssey. And he said that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And I've been working on a book for 5 years that I call The Magic of Food, because we're just scratching the surface of how wonderful this technology is. We love our man-made technology, but the greatest technology in the universe is nature, and it's through food in which we commune with that nature. It's a celebration, and food is just amazing. And the future of food as medicine is just so exciting. It's really going to be fun. We'll see it in our lifetime. I just know it.
Absolutely. We are seeing it. In the last 15 years, there's been a over fivefold increase in farmers markets and community supported agriculture programs in the United States. Sales of organic foods are massively increasing. It's now 5% of market share. That's also a fivefold increase in about 15 years. More and more people are caring where their food comes from, how it's growing. McDonald's closed 700 restaurants last year. You know, sales of junk food are going down.
Yeah.
I think that the food industry is recognizing that healthy food isn't just a label. It isn't just a marketing problem. It actually is a reality that consumers have fundamentally lost trust in the corporate food industry. And so in order to regain that trust, they're going to have to do something that's more than skin deep. They're going to have to actually start thinking about serving real food.
Yeah.
And it's my belief that the food revolution is just getting started, that people are completely sick of toxic food and are hungry for change, and that we get to be on the vanguard. Those of us who are in this conversation right now, those of us who are practicing as food revolutionaries, we get to be on the vanguard of a cultural change that is going to fundamentally alter human health, the viability and sustainability of our planet, and the way that we think about, process, grow, and consume food. And in the process, we can radically transform our health outcomes. We can improve our economy. We can stop spending 19% of our gross domestic product on disease treatment. And we can have healthier lives.
That's great. Well, Ocean, thanks for just an enlightening presentation. I want to encourage all the viewers to get to foodrevolution.org and become part of this revolution. It's really important that you do that. The foodrevolution.org is doing a lot of great things, and they need the support of all of us. So get to foodrevolution.org. And Ocean, you're offering a free gift today, which is a real food action guide. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Absolutely. So we put together a collection of a few resources into this action guide. There's a fact sheet that looks at what's really going on with food. You know, where are we at? It's all sourced to, you know, credible institutions. What are the top 10 food problems we're facing? And what are the top 10 breakthroughs and solutions we're seeing in what we call food 3.0? So food 1.0 is survival. Food 2.0 is commerce. Food 3.0 is health. And we think we're making the transition, many of us now, from food 2.0 to food 3.0. So we articulate what are the signs of hope and how you can step into food 3.0. And then we have an interview, actually, a conversation, really, between my dad and myself, where I got to interview him, sit down and ask him some tough questions and some important questions. And, you know, and then we just decided it was such a rich, powerful conversation that we would put it into written form and share it with the world. So you get all of that in the Real Food Action Guide, which is a totally free resource. And I think it can really help empower you and also give you some interesting insights into our family journey and what it means to be a food revolutionary in these times.
Well, you did a fantastic job today. Thank you for joining us. And thanks to all you viewers out there. Just a reminder, if you want to purchase the upgrade package, today the price is discounted from $197 down to $97. With the upgrade package, you get access to all the trainings to be able to download and view at your convenience. You'll get transcripts of each talk and all the speakers' bonuses. Just click the button below this recording. Once again, thank you for joining the Natural Medicine Healing and Wellness Summit and for making optimal health a big part of your life. And don't forget, you need to be a real food champion. I look forward to seeing you on the next visit. Until then, God bless.